Good morning.
Good morning.
But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth.
A question for you as we get started. How many of you grew up or have ever lived in a small town? Some of us. I was born in a town and raised about 3,000 people. So if you lived in a small town, you can identify with some of the lists that I'm going to start out with this morning. In a small town, when you're entering and leaving the city or the town, the city limit sign, these signs, entering and leaving, are on the same post. Your car breaks down outside of town, and news gets back to town before you do. Without thinking, you wave to all the oncoming traffic. A night on the town only takes 11 minutes. The local phone book only has one page. And this actually has happened to me before. You know you live in a small town when you call the wrong number and they offer to give you the right number. That has happened on more than one occasion. Well, you get the idea. Small towns often don't get much respect. And yet some of the best folks who ever lived came from small towns. Abraham Lincoln, generally acknowledged by many as the greatest United States president, hailed from Knob Creek, Kentucky, which was so small it no longer exists. President Jimmy Carter still lives in Plains, Georgia, with a population of 611 people. So you don't have to be a big city to produce a big person or a president. Of course, the greatest person who ever lived came from a small town, one of the unlikeliest places on earth. We read in Micah 5 these beautiful words, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." These words were written 700 years before Caesar Augustus issued his decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, which of course Judah was. A census that required Joseph and Mary, his younger bride-to-be, to travel from their home to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the lineage and line of King David. Joseph went there to register for the census with Mary, who pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While there, they gave birth to his firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him, as the scriptures tell us, in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for any of them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appear with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When angels had left the shepherds and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. The world did not know it, but all the truly important people on the earth were huddled in a stable that night, long ago in that tiny town outside of Jerusalem. In the world's estimation, the important people of the world were in Rome, Augustus Caesar, the Senate, all those rich people. But you and I now know better. The truly important people that night consisted of some humble shepherds and a young couple with their newborn son who had been forced to take shelter in the stable because there was no room for them at the inn. The baby born that night would forever change the world, as well as humanity's relationship with God, and it happened in a small town called Bethlehem. In August 1865, shortly after the Civil War, the parishioners of Holy Trinity Church sent their rector, Phillips Brooke, abroad for a year. His travels took him through Europe, and in December, took him to the Holy Land. There he traced the footsteps of Jesus southward and visited the scenes of the biblical narrative. And after 2 weeks spent in Jerusalem, Christmas Eve found him in Bethlehem at the birthplace of Jesus. Of his stirring emotions on that holy night, he later wrote to a Sunday school back in Philadelphia, and he said, "I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where many believed that Jesus was born. The whole church was ringing hour after hour with splendid hymns of praise to our God. It was as if I could hear angelic voices telling each other the wonderful night of our Savior's birth." 2 years later, in 1867, Brooks put his pen to paper and wrote these immortal words: "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." The prophet Micah, who first announced where Christ would be born, was a contemporary of the better known prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ's birth. God was speaking to both men of the one who would come. Micah foretold that there would come a ruler who will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth and will be our peace. "The place where this ruler would be born," said Micah, "is Bethlehem." His birth was announced to shepherds, the common man, but not to the religious elite or those with political clout. His cradle was a manger, a common animal's feeding trough, in a lowly, humble stable. You don't have to be rich to know him. You don't have to be well-known or popular to know him. You just have to be you. That Jesus, that Christ was born in Bethlehem, I believe gives us confidence that God does want us to be his children. No matter how insignificant you may feel that you are, or how insignificant you may feel someone else is. A small town and a small baby. This is how Jesus Christ came to us. Not in a power center of the world, not with pomp and circumstance, but in a stable populated by animals and straw. Pastor Matthew Rogers writes, "When a new king is born, you can usually hear a military 21-gun salute. When a new king is born, flags billow and chapel bells peal loud and clanging music way into the night. When a new king is born, champagne corks stream through the air by the thousands. When a new king is born, people stand together and sing choruses in the street. When a new king is born, clouds of euphoria make millions of people feel like they are members of one harmonious family." At least that's the way one newspaper article says it was on June 21st, 1982, when at 9:03 the future king of England came into the world. We know him as William, Prince of Wales, born to Prince Charles and his young wife, Diana. This boy was a legitimate heir to the throne. He was a royal ancestry, born to be a king. But that's not the way it was when Jesus came in the world. It's difficult to imagine a birth more humble or lowly than the birth of Jesus Christ. Douglas Connolly says, imagine coming upon a young woman giving birth in a city that's not her own, and have to pull over into a dark, scary alley. Then you have a better understanding of the birth of Jesus Christ. A small town, a small bay, an entire world was saved. Frederick Bruner says, it's impossible to conceive how differently things would have turned out if this birth had not happened. Whenever, wherever, however it did, the birth of Jesus Christ makes it possible not just a new way of understanding life, but a new way of living life. The truth of this incarnation should never cease to amaze us. The mystery of the eternal, cradled in a manger, should cause wonder and grateful praise for every day of our life. Notice what Bruner says, the birth of Jesus made possible a new way of understanding life and made possible a new way of living life. Kurt Nostrand, a well-known Methodist pastor living in Austria, he tells of a Christmas Eve during the Nazi occupation when he was a very young child. His father was away, and so his mother gathered the children around to read the Christmas story and to pray. They could hear the soldiers outside their windows, marching up and down the streets, patrolling the curfew, and enforcing forbidding rules to worship any religious celebration. So they were very quiet. During the reading and praying, young Helmut kept wondering what his mother would do when it came time, as had been their custom, for the music. Poor as they were, they had a piano, which they used for services where his papa preached and his mama played the hymns. Mama loved the Christmas music, but surely the soldiers would hear the piano music and the singing. What were they to do? Well, when they finished the reading and praying, Helmut's younger sister asked, Mama, aren't we going to sing? With only a moment's hesitation, his mother answered, tonight we celebrate the coming of Christ's child into the world. He came that we might never be afraid anymore. Of course, we are going to sing. So she gathered her children about her, and they sang, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come ye, O come ye, to Bethlehem. You and I don't have to sing in fear this morning. All fear has been taken away. Salvation has come, and eternal life is now our opportunity. And it all began in a small town called Bethlehem. May God bless you. Amen.